It is the third week of the same passage. Can you believe that? Acts chapter 13, it's only 1 and 2 and 3 and even into 4 a little bit. Can you believe that you can take a piece of scripture and drag it out this far? I knew a preacher who was in their third year of the book of Philippians. I think it was 3 years going through the book of Romans. At this rate, we should be through Acts chapter 13. Well, the Lord should probably come first. We're actually just looking at chapters 1 and chapter 13. 1 and 2, because we see here different ways that, from different points of view, I guess you could say, this passage, the different elements of it. There you go. We're talking about missions this month. We have an emphasis on missionaries. Perhaps you have already, in addition to your regular offering, marked envelopes specifically for the Christmas in July. Perhaps you're waiting until the banquet tomorrow night. Next Sunday night. You could have one tomorrow night. I won't be here. Whatever the case might be, doing that to show our love and support for our missionaries here in America, in Europe, in South America, in Asia, and we don't have anybody in Africa yet. That might be interesting to maybe hit every continent that would. No, we'd still be missing one. But I don't know how big a mission field it is. That would be Antarctica. But I don't think that there's too many penguins there that are there. So we might focus on where on these others instead. I did hear once that there actually is a missionary in Antarctica, because there are scientists and stuff that go there all the time. So I've heard that. I don't remember where I heard that from. You're familiar with William Carey. You know the name. You've heard the name a few times. The great missionary. Very instrumental in the beginning of the missionary movement. The modern one, beginning in England. And the setting up of the Baptist Missionary Society. But there's another Carey, but maybe you don't know his name. Lot Carey. Have you heard of him? Lot Carey. I don't know that there's any relation whatsoever between them. Probably not. Lot Carey, he was born here in America. He was born a slave. So you can imagine he was African American. He was born on the estate of William Christian in 1780. It was about 30 miles from Richmond, Virginia. When Lot was 24, he was hired out to work in a tobacco warehouse in Richmond. But as a young man, he had a reputation. But it wasn't a very good reputation. He was known for drunkenness and being very profane. At the age of 27, however, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He did that and joined First Baptist Church of Richmond. He was very curious about this event that happened in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus and Jesus. And so he decided to study for himself. So he learned how to read and to write. He became a licensed to preach to even. And in 1813... about the time that he purchased his freedom, a man came down called William Kane out of New Jersey. And he took an interest in the young African American. In fact, many of the young African Americans. He worked with them, with Lot Carey, and organized the Richmond African Missionary Society. The society began and within 5 years had collected $700, which doesn't seem like much at all, but we're talking clear back in 1800s. There was a result in January of 1821. Lot, his family, and a friend, Colin Teague, and his family went to Africa. They went to Africa, and it was there that in West Africa they joined the American Colonization Society in Sierra Leone. After being there, though, for a short time, in 1822, after his second wife passed away, he moved to Monrovia, and that's where he established the first church in Liberia, Providence Baptist Church. He ministered to the congregation as well as to the native tribes that were there in the area. And by the end of his missions work, the whole adult population of the town that he was in had come under the influence of Christianity. Not all had trusted Christ as their Savior, but their way had an impact. So that way, in that town, drinking, drunkenness, profanity, and fighting was practically eliminated. On the site of what once was a desolate forest consecrated to demon worship was erected a chapel which stood as a monument to overthrow the heathenism and as a tribute to the Son of God. Wow! Can you believe that despite what we hear about the way that early America was, we have African Americans going back to Africa? Why? To do what a lot of the people from Europe came to America to do, to share and spread the gospel. God uses all kinds of people to do his work. We noticed that last week as we looked at the beginning of chapter 13, where the church there in Antioch, where certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, perhaps from Africa, Nicias from Cyrene, and Minyan, who was brought up as nobility with Herod the Tetrarch, and then Saul. And we see these people and their different characteristics and the different backgrounds that they had. And it was God who did the work of calling two of this group of people. For not everybody God calls to be missionaries. But he does call each of us to do his mission's work. Here he called two men to full-time go out and spread the gospel, primarily to the Gentiles. Paul and Saul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I call them." The believers responded, as we ought to respond to God's call. They responded by saying, "Yes." And what kind of response was it? Well, obviously, Saul and Barnabas had to say yes, right? It seems pretty evident here in the way that it's worded that Saul and Barnabas knew that they'd been called to this, but now was a time that they were to be sent out. So there's a response by the believers. God does his work to call believers to missions. God has commissioned every believer to be his witness, but some to be missionaries. God does that. Believers respond. And how do they respond? Well, hopefully we respond by first listening to God's word and then obeying God's word, doing what he says. It's kind of like the song Trust and Obey, isn't it? There really is no other way. Though Jonah thought there was, but he learned different. The response here that we will look at is the church. It says here, now in the church that was at Antioch. Where do missionaries come from? They come from churches. They come from local churches. Various local churches throughout the world. Missionaries, the first point, come from the church. It says here, in the church that was in Antioch, there were these leaders. We come down here a little bit farther, and we see that it was the church, it says in verse 3, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, we might ask ourselves, is that talking about the leaders or the church? I think it's the church. I'll tell you why in a minute. Missionaries, it might seem like a pretty obvious thing that missionaries come from the church. What does that mean for us? It means that as a church, we should be asking ourselves, are we training up missionaries? That is, are we training up people who to do missionary work? Are we doing missionary work? This can be done intentionally and unintentionally. Now that sounds kind of strange, but I'll tell you what I mean. I know what I mean. Let's see if you can figure out what I mean. In the church, why do we exist? We exist because Christ designed the church, right? We exist because God said He would build His church, and we are a local part of that church. And members, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and make a profession of faith, not only by mouth, but by through baptism, become members of Park Lane Baptist Church. And as members of Park Lane Baptist Church, or maybe they have their membership transferred from another church, we gather together to worship God. We gather together in order to be disciples of Christ, to learn from His Word. What does Christ want me to know? And to do God's work. Do we forget what He told the disciples He wanted them to do? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Now, go therefore, he says in there, He commissions them to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. What are disciples? Not disciples of us, but disciples of Christ. Those who follow after Jesus Christ. They say, well, this is what Jesus did, so I should be doing the same kinds of thing. Whether I'm going out as Jesus did and be, as it were, a missionary, or like the example of Paul, or is Peter, or I do my hard work as a mechanic, I do my hard work in carpentry, I do my hard work at a gas station, I do my hard work at Baker's, I do my hard work at wherever I work. And the people that I come in contact with, I still use opportunities to share with them who Jesus is and why they should follow Him. Make disciples, says in Matthew 19, chapter 28, verse 19, of all nations. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, I will give you the Holy Spirit. Who has the Holy Spirit? Well, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, every person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation receives the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that you will receive the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to me. You have the Holy Spirit. What are you supposed to do? Be a witness of Jesus Christ. And God calls sometimes out of the local church some to do that full time. As a church, we're seeking to learn how to follow Christ. We're seeking to worship God together. And we're seeking to bring others to Christ. So how do we do that? Unintentionally, I think we train up missionaries by having Sunday school, by having children's church and Awana and youth group and Bible study and our regular services. What do you learn there about missions? What does a missionary need to know? Do they need to know what the Bible says about things that have happened, about who God is? Well, yeah, and especially in when we're young in Sunday school, we learn those things about David and Goliath, about Jonah, about Adam and Eve. We learn those stories, and so learn about God, who God is, His greatness and His love and His care for us. Missionaries need to know that. We learn in Sunday school, how do you react in life and situations in life? How do you make right choices? How do you take God's word and how do you look at it and glean from it? Well, that's what we do in Sunday school and Bible study and worship services. Missionary needs to know how to do that. What about dealing with other people? Are there other people in church? And how many people do you have in a room in order to have an argument? Two, usually, sometimes only one, depending on the person. How do you get along with people in the same community? How do you handle pressure from the outside because the rest of the world says you should define marriage a certain way, or you should be accepting of everybody of no matter who they are or what they do? How do you handle those situations? When we participate in prayer and worship and communion and fellowship, when we encourage and comfort and admonish one another, we are learning how to be Christ-like. And a missionary needs to know how to do that. I asked myself, what about intentionally? What are we doing? And I said, you know, I bet we can be doing things better to train missionaries. Thought, well, we do things such as having an emphasis in missions. We talk about throughout the year, but especially in the month of July. We have in our bulletins, you have talking usually, we have a single missionary, but I thought for this month we'd have the different groups around the world that we support written down. And so we have updates and you have information about missionaries in the bulletin each week. On Wednesday, we pray for our missionaries. We have missionaries. We have one coming next week. Come in and introduce what they do. And as a church, especially for our size, we support a lot of missionaries. Missionaries come from the church. We should be praying that God will raise up and send missionaries out of this church. Missionaries come from the church. Secondly, missionaries are commissioned by the church. In verse 13, I mentioned this verse earlier. It says that then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, the antecedent, that is, the they, seems to me to represent the prophets and the teachers of the church. But as I say, well, you know, is it them or is it the whole church? And I said, well, I'll ask people that are smarter than me. It didn't take long to find somebody. So I looked up some commentaries, and they were kind of divided. Some just unsure. And so what do? You look at the scriptures and see what the pattern is. Now, as for this particular verse, it could be either one. I'll go with that. But I do notice this in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7, the whole church was given the responsibility to select those who would serve as deacons. In Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the church sends Barnabas to Antioch. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, we see that Paul and Barnabas give account to the whole church, not just the leaders. We see in Acts chapter 15, verse 3, Paul and Barnabas are again sent are sent again specifically mentioned by the church of Antioch. Acts chapter 15 is a vital key. It doesn't seem like a big deal to us, but it's because we're removed from the culture. A major, major decision is made there. The fact that not if Jews can be saved, but whether the Jews would accept the fact that the Gentiles could be saved. And so, because there's a debate, you know, can Gentiles really be saved? Well, they were being saved. This great debate, we find in the end of that chapter, in verse 22, that the decision came down, not just the apostles and James, but, says, the whole church decided. And they sent out letters to let the other churches know what the conclusion they had come to. What does that tell me? That the church is the one that commissions missionaries. It seems clear to me that, you know, whether here in this specific verse it's talking about the prophets and teachers, or if it's talking about the whole church, it still seems clear to me that the whole church is involved in commissioning missionaries. Park Lane Baptist Church has commissioned a couple missionaries. That is, we are their commissioning church, the church that sends them out. Not just one that financially supports, but they through us, are commissioned. The commissioning in a church means we evaluate the candidate regarding their calling and desire to missions. We spend time in prayer to determine God's will in approving or disapproving them. And then upon approval, we commission them with usually a special service and prayer and dedicating them to God and His work. In commissioning, it shows our approval as a church, seeing God's hand on them and saying, yes, we as a church support them in going out. It gives our blessing upon them as fellow believers, and it shows our commitment to them as missionaries. Being commissioned by the church, the missionary then serves under the authority of the church, of that local church, and is accountable to them. That means that missionaries are not just somebody who decides, I think I'm going to be a missionary, and goes off on their own with no accountability, with no direction, with no support for making tough decisions, for no support for making not only tough decisions, but sometimes need that moral support. It means that the church, when we make the decision next time, that we understand that we are responsible for them and we have responsibility to Christ for them as well. As well as we commission them, a commitment to them, to those missionaries. Missionaries come from the church. They're commissioned by the church. And the missionaries, of course, are supported by the church. I look in to this past, this I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to see what happened there. What was the pattern then? The church, they sent them off. They just kind of say, okay, good luck. No, here's a case in Corinth that Paul now, his name is Saul, mentioned as Saul in Acts chapter 13, but he changes it to Paul. Paul, in his ministry, he's been to Corinth, and he writes back to Corinth, and he says, look, yes, I am an apostle. Christ did call me as an apostle. And so he spends part of 1 Corinthians, but especially 2 Corinthians, defending his apostleship to them. Not to say, well, yes, see, I'm an apostle too. But to say, look, the things that I said, that I taught, that I've done, isn't just on my own, but it is what Christ told me to say and do. Isn't that what missionaries do? To take God's word and to share it with others? Here he says, starting in verse 3, my defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and to drink? That is to be able to have the daily necessities. Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas or Peter? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? That is, these others, you support them financially, but you don't support us? We have no right to that? Verse 7, he gives the illustrations. Does anyone go to war at their own expense? No, the king or the government, they pay for them, their living expenses or housing. Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat from it? That is, we put in the effort and the time and the ministry into the church. Do we not have right to reap from it financially? He's not talking about getting rich. He's talking about eating and drinking, daily needs. Do we not have a right to that support? Yeah. And he gives example of goats. Those who tend the flock and don't drink the milk of it. Says, or do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? Am I just making these things up? Or does God's law have some sort of precedent for supporting those that are in ministry? He says, yeah, Moses, you will not muzzle the ox while it treads the grain. Did God write that, Paul says, in the SRV, Sean Rittmuller version, did God write that just so that way, because he likes oxen in particular? And so you, instead of, while the ox is going around treading the grain in order to break it up and everything, that you cause him so that way he can't eat? He's working for it. Let the ox eat. No. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 9, does he say it altogether for our sakes? Well, for our sakes, no doubt. As written that he who plows should plow in hope. The idea that he's getting something out of this. And he who threshes in hope should be the partaker of his hope. If we have sown in spiritual things for you, is it such a great thing if we reap material things? He's not here, and then he later goes on and says, you know what, but look, you owe us, is what he says. But then he says this, later on in the chapter, he says, but we're not taking your money. Isn't that strange that he says that? He says, for the sake of not hindering the work that we've done there, we didn't take anything from you. And later he says, but you could help out the Jews that are in Jerusalem. Missionaries are to be supported by the church financially. We ought to there are missionaries, there are two couples that we have sent out as a church. And by God's grace, over the next few years, that God will raise up and will send out more. But there are missionaries that come through because it's expensive. A church, for a single church to go and support a missionary all on their own, that's really quite a feat. So they go to other sister churches and say, look, I'm going. Are you on board with me? Could you help me? It's not far different from what Paul did, receiving funds from Thessalonica and Galatia and other areas. What missionaries do is they come in and say, are you on board with me? And so as a church, we say, are we? Is this what, are they certainly indeed God sending them? Is it within our ability to support them? And so financially, we support many other missionaries, 14 others, not including agencies. But you know, we think of supporting, we think only of financially, but there's another thing, there's prayer. In Ephesians, when he writes to the Ephesians, Paul in Ephesians 6, he says, and pray for me, 6:19-20. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He says, pray for me because guess what? At heart, I'm a chicken. Can you believe that? That's what he says. For which I'm an ambassador, God has called me to this, but I'm ambassador in chains, that is, he's in prison for this, that it may be, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He's scared. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But he trusts God. And so, what does he do? He asks for prayer. We need to be in prayer for our missionaries. Missionaries, not only they come from the church, missionaries are commissioned by the church. Missionaries are supported by the church. Finally, missionaries are accountable to the church. Missionaries, of course, are accountable to God. But as ones who send them out, they are accountable to us. Finally, in Acts chapter 14, we see this. In Acts chapter 13, you see that God calls Saul and Barnabas to the missions. You see God at work. You see the response of the believers, namely of Barnabas and Saul, that they go and follow. As a church, you, because you are the church, I am not the church. I am part of the church. You are the church. As members of Park Lane Baptist Church, you are Park Lane Baptist Church. The building is not Park Lane Baptist Church. You are Park Lane Baptist Church. So, it's not because the pastor says so, or because the deacon says so. It's that you are God's people, anointed by the Holy Spirit, given that gift of the Holy Spirit to make decisions, to follow God, and to honor Him. You are Park Lane Baptist Church. So what are we to do as a church? Well, we mentioned these other things. Finally, missionaries are accountable to us. Why? Because that's the way, the pattern that God has. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Saul and Barnabas come back. And when they get back, come to verse 27, when they had come and gathered the church together, they're in Antioch, they reported, that is, Barnabas and Saul, reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door for faith to the Gentiles. Now going through the book of Acts, you're like saying, as a Jew, you're saying, what? That's not supposed to happen. And then you have chapter 15. It's a great story. You ought to read it. What I see here is that it says they gathered the church together. The whole church, as many as they could get, they gathered together and say, listen, this is what God is doing. Why? They're accountable to the church. You see their accountability not only here, but a few other places as well as they go through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 is the passage that we've looked at. And I hope that you have taken and allowed God to work in your heart in each aspect of it. So that way, as you look at this passage, you say, look, here's what I see here. There's three groups involved. One, God. God's involved, clearly. Because the Holy Spirit said, separate to me. God's involved in this. God calls missionaries. Secondly, the believers. Barnabas and Saul, they had to be willing to do God's work. And third, the church. Where you go by verse 1, or you believe verse 3 is also as part of that. And certainly we see other passages. As a church, you are involved in missionaries. Here at Park Lane Baptist Church, we support a large number of missionaries. We have a large amount of our budget. A lot of churches work to get 10% of their budget. Ours is almost 20% of our budget goes to missions. That's not a pride factor that says Park Lane Baptist Church is interested in doing the Great Commission. The mission God has put us to do. It's fantastic that we're supporting these missionaries to do God's work as long as we don't say God's called us to do, to spread the gospel. Here's some money, you go do it. We need to be involved in it as well. We do so as a church in commissioning, in supporting missionaries, in raising them up, teaching intentionally or not necessarily intentionally, but unintentionally. So as a mindset, as a church, what should we have? We should have the mindset that people need Christ. And as my, and I don't mean as pastor, as a member of Park Lane Baptist Church, my responsibility to share Christ is my responsibility to share, to invite people to come to hear the gospel like Andrew did, or to go and tell others like Peter did. It's my responsibility to see opportunities to help the gospel spread. And so when missionaries come in, maybe as the governments come in, maybe as individuals, sometimes individuals support, that's a big opportunity for missionaries. Now, maybe a church just can't support, but certain individuals decide, you know what, I may be giving through the church or directly through the mission agency, I want to support somebody because I want to see God's gospel go out. We are a training institute here. Training institute to make disciples of Christ. Some of us that are sitting here today, God may yet call to missions work. Paul was at 15 when he was called. Some of us here, many of us, are not going to be called to missions, to full-time missionary work. But we're still called to do missions work. We're not to be called a full-time missionary, but we're still to do God's mission. So, as a church, let us prayerfully consider our own role individually and as a church. May, as a church, let us pray that God will raise up, not just even in our own church, which is fantastic, but just among churches, raise up men and women to go and spread the gospel. And then let's remember that we need to be witnesses as well. God's called you to it. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us. We've taken this passage and we've looked at it from about every angle, and I find it fantastic that we can do that. Now, Father, as we consider our own place in this, I pray that you will help us. I pray that you will work in each heart here. That you will help us recognize that you've not called us to be a social club. You've not called us to be a charity organization. You've not called us to be a place that people can come and get out of the heat. You have called us to make disciples. So, Father, I pray that you will help us this morning to be determined to be your disciple. I ask that you will help us, that we will learn your ways, that you will help us to be able to discern how to practically apply your word into our lives, that as people look at us, they might recognize Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you'll give us boldness that we need. We have many different personalities here. Father, some very bold, some very bashful. I pray, though, that you would give us each the boldness that we do need, the boldness that comes from your Holy Spirit, boldness to share with others Jesus Christ. Whether it just take a few minutes and hand somebody a tract, maybe it's to invite somebody to come to an event or to regular service, maybe it's to go and help in different places, take a missions trip. Heavenly Father, you've called us to make disciples. So I pray that we not only will be disciples, but in the things that we do here as a church, will help each other grow in our discipleship in you. And Father, that you will look upon each heart here, that each heart will not discount your call to whatever field that you have us go to. I pray that you will work in hearts here. Perhaps not at this moment they're thinking missions, but I pray that each heart will be open, will consider the fact that you might want them to go into missions. I ask, Father, that you will help us as a church to continue to support our missionaries well, to show our love to them, to show your love to them, to not only financially, but prayerfully uphold them. We pray that you will keep them. We pray that you'll help us to be able to minister to missionaries that perhaps we can't support them as a church, but we can encourage them. I pray that as we have opportunity through the missionary house, as we have them through our pulpit or other opportunities, I ask that you will guide us. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that we might not only do your work, but promote it in the lives of others as well. And I ask this in Jesus' name.